WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen. You can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. We're talking Elimination Chamber. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio and at Rack Radio Show. Ellen's work on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, Twitch.tv. Slash the Beach Live to interact with us live tonight. So we're here to talk some wrestling.
We have Elimination Chamber, we have news, we have notes. We have all kinds of fun stuff.
We do. We have new background. We have new backgrounds on screen, new little bit of update on graphics. So it's a good time.
I was going to say the new background looks very nice.
We have a new background. We have new moving graphics on the side, so we're doing, you know, a little bit of changes here and there because
production
refresh.
Value.
We're doing production value, refreshing, you know, all the things, all those types of things. Because, you know, why not?
So with that, I say we jump right into the news because honestly, thankfully, nobody dropped anything. Dwayne, we're looking at you. Right before we were supposed to go on the air, so that's a good thing.
Have you refreshed Twitter? Are you sure? Nothing's
happened.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, that was not cool, Dwayne. That was seriously not cool. We had a plan, and then he just destroyed our plan. He was like, nah, I'm gonna do this instead. Peace out. So, yeah. jumping right into the news brought to our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. The biggest news of the week is that Carmella is officially a free agent with WWE. Her contract did run out, and she is set to give an interview, or she's already given an interview on what happened with her contract. And there seems to be some controversy there. There's a story there. Nobody really knows yet, but she's supposed to tell her side of the story.
Are we sure there's going to be controversy, or are they just making it seem like there's going to be controversy?
I hope there's not controversy. I really, 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 really hope not, but...
Because she's been out for, what, 3 years now? And been paid the entire time, right?
Mm-hmm.
She had a child with Corey, and during the pregnancy, she got something called, I think, what, drop foot? I believe that was the term of the injury, and which is why she was not able to get back in the ring. So it's no surprise that WWE did not, hey, we're going to renew your contract and just going to let it expire for now, because re-signing her at that point, it's like, well... She can't wrestle, so what are they going to sign her for? And she's a full-time mother now. It kind of makes sense. She's been out for 2 years net, a little bit over 2 years. So, yeah. And it is drop foot.
I wonder if that led to Corey's, like, we know what led to Corey's rant, which was his replacement on Raw. But I wonder if that added to it at all. Like, they got that news.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But Corey was trying to make something happen that didn't happen. And that's where that went. I don't think if one ties to the other, then that's kind of weird, but it shouldn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. So we'll just have to see in here, because I think, is she doing it tonight or is she doing it tomorrow?
I don't know, it's coming out at some point.
It'll all come out at some point. She'll give the statement. I know it was this week, I just don't know when. But yeah, stay tuned for that. But Carmella is officially a free agent. Speaking of Dwayne, he made his big announcement, which we all suspected was what it was going to be. He just, you know, casually dropped that he wanted Cody Rhodes' soul. That's gimmick infringement. The Undertaker would like to have a word. And also that WrestleMania 42 is headed to New Orleans for April 11th and 12th of 2026.
Yeah, I mean, that was no surprise. It's been rumored about for about a little bit over 6 weeks, 7 weeks at this point that they were headed to New Orleans. And they're going there because, you know, The Rock used to wrestle in Louisiana when he first started. So it makes perfect sense to go to Louisiana for... some of the strangest PR spin. But anyway, yeah, they're heading back there. This will be their third WrestleMania in 12 years because Super Bowl likes to go there. Wrestling likes to go there. They made improvements to the Superdome, not to be confused with the Silver Dome, brother. So yeah, they're going to head there for WrestleMania and, you know, SmackDown, all the things. And what have you. But yeah, the announcement was originally going to happen during Super Bowl week, but things did not play out in their favor and they did not make the announcement. So here we are.
Here we are. They could come to Atlanta next. That's all I'm saying.
We talked about this last week. They'll be back there eventually.
Eventually. It was announced this week that WWE and Dimension 20 are going to be doing a Titan Takeover. And that is where pro wrestling meets Dungeons and Dragons. We have Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, Bayley, and Chelsea Green squaring off for all the glory and the dice and the Roll 20s. And I don't know anything about it, but
I can't tell you anything about Dungeons and Dragons other than people like it and people obsess over it. And
this is where we need Brent because he actually knows what this is. But yeah, it should be exciting. It's going to be, I think, kind of like a Critical Role situation, but with wrestlers. Yeah, so there you go. Like I know Critical Role, but like,
I mean, that's cool. And you'll get to see stuff like that, and it fits like that niche, I guess. Oh, yeah. I guess that's the best way to put it. So congrats to WWE. It's gonna start April 2nd exclusively on Dropout, whatever Dropout.tv is. I've never heard of it till now, but it's gonna be on that platform. It'll be every week for 4 weeks, so should be fun for them. It looks like it's been filmed a while ago, just based on Kofi's mustache.
Yeah.
He has one.
Yeah.
So this was pre-heel turn when they filmed it. So now you know, because he has no stash. He has a stash. It was for heel turn.
I mean, and he could grow the stash back.
He could, but currently he does not have one. So you know that just the timeline.
So we're talking like summer.
Yes.
There you go. Okay, all right, but check that out when it comes out in April. Trish Stratus is set to be inducted into the International Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame this year, so congratulations to her. Well-deserved, well-earned.
Congrats.
Moving on to AEW, Layla Hirsch, her contract is set to expire with the company as of tomorrow, and she will be a free agent.
Yeah, she hasn't been used in a long time, and her contract's up, and they're not re-signing her because they have a lot of women on the roster that need, and there's only so many spots for the one women's match on TV a week. So, on Dynamite a week, I should say. On Dynamite a week.
You know what we need? We need the Taking Shots bumper.
No, because it would just be on repeat, and we're not going to have to do that.
Everybody take a shot. I mean, I'm sad for her because I wish, you know, obviously that she could have got something going. Because I believe she was a big deal when they signed her, and they just, I don't think they could ever quite get anything going.
She got injured for a while, and then they tried to make a comeback, but nothing really clicked when she came back. So here we are.
But may she find success.
Indeed.
And with that, we're going to take our break for the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about WWE Elimination Chamber, which is this Saturday. It's on Saturday, right? It's on Saturday on the Peacocks and the WWE Networks, or the, I should say actually the Netflixes, excuse me, internationally. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Up in different places every day, forsegregated. Had my life discriminated. Told her that would never make it. I won't spend it underrated. Yeah. I don't need to stay on the move every day. Hope I never make it. The whole journey's all I'm living for. I feel it bending corners. No stopping what it's coming for. There's time to overnight straight, breaking doors. We endure, and we've been endured.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Now at 10 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line! Go Stone Cold Simpson!
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are talking all about Elimination Chamber, which will be airing this Saturday on the Peacocks in the U.S. and on Netflix internationally. And yeah, this is going to be a fun show. This is going to be a lot of fun. We have many, many, many things because I see my stuff reacting. So I think we're okay. I don't know where he got to, but anyway.
We're here.
Okay.
I didn't know this was muted. The headset was muted itself. I was talking the entire time. Responding.
Because
I was setting up the wheel, so I didn't see the volume mixer going up and down. That's all.
Okay.
So, yeah. Someone's soul is on the line this Saturday.
And it's not who you think it is.
So where do you want to start?
You know, let's start from the bottom and work our way up. There are, in total, 4 matches on this card. And that's it.
I mean, that's kind of the norm. And the big Cody Rock segment, which will go 20 minutes, so...
Well, yeah, there's that too. But yeah. But like there's 4 matches on this card. They've done a wonderful, beautiful job of building up this pay-per-view, or excuse me, PLE. And there's a lot of doubt in question of who all's going to win the 2 big matches. But I say we jump in. Let's talk about Tiffany Stratton and Trish Stratus taking on Nia Jax and Candice LeRae.
This should be a fun match. On the show.
Yeah.
It's nice for Trish to be in her hometown. She gets to get in the ring with one of the best workers in WWE and Candice LeRae. Nia Jax should be a bubble for Nia. And this is a way to elevate Tiffany as she's on her way to WrestleMania to defend her championship against Charlotte Flair. So this is a good elevation match for her. Yeah. I don't expect a lot. I just expect it to be fun. Trish will hit her big spots and go from there.
I fully expect this, not that it will be this, but my expectation, because the whole point of this is just really to kind of be a fluff match for Trish. Number one, because it's her hometown, she can come wrestle in her hometown and everybody can cheer her and she can have a good time and she can showcase her skills. And, you know, that's awesome for her. But it's also something to keep Tiffy out there, to sort of keep like Nia on the horizon for Tiffy. It's an opportunity for Charlotte to potentially get involved. And you can continue to build the feud between Tiffy and Charlotte. You have a lot of purposes to this, which I like. But I feel like for this, like it's, I don't, like you, I don't have a high expectation for the match. Like it'll be good, it will be fine. But in terms of what else is on this card, I don't think this will top it.
No, it's kind of it's going to be the cool down match based on everything that's on the show, because you got 2 Elimination Chamber matches that are probably going to bookend the show. Sammy and Kevin are going to destroy each other in the middle. You throw this around after the women's chamber, before the Kevin-Sammy match. Then you do the Rock segment and then the men's chamber to close, I guess.
Yeah, that seems like it makes sense.
Unless they close with the Rock, which they could, but you can't end up PLE with like that. So that'll probably be in the middle.
I would say that opens or that's in the middle. More probably in the middle because you have, like, for what your cooldown matches are, there's really only the one, which is this match, Tiffany and Trish versus Nia and Candice, because, like, Sammy and Kevin will be really hot. And then there's the two chamber matches, so you need something else to go in
between. Yeah, so you put this fourth on the card. You put the Rock segment fourth on the card.
Yeah, you just kind of sandwich it in and it'll be fine, but... In terms of this match, which is the Tiffany match, just so we're all clear, I fully expect Tiffany and Trish to win. It is Trish's hometown. That's a little bit of a no-brainer. And I think that Tiffany could use the win, especially going into WrestleMania against Charlotte. You begin to build Tiffy up really, really, really strong, and you have her look pretty badass against the likes of Charlotte, because Charlotte, you don't need to really do anything for her. She's Charlotte Flair. We all know her accomplishments. We all know what she's done. So it's not like you need to necessarily make Charlotte look like anything. What you have to do is now bring Tiffy up to where she looks like a credible contender against Charlotte, where it's not just, oh, LOL, Charlotte wins. It's no, Tiffany can hold her own and Tiffany can take Charlotte, and she can. Like, we all know that, but they just have to build that up. And this will give them 2 months to do it. So I fully expect Tiffany and Trish to win.
So do I. Wrestlers don't always win in their hometowns, though. I mean, more so lately than in the past.
It's Trish.
But it's not. But it's like, not about Trish. It's more about Tiffany's going to get the win over Nia or Candice and kind of put all doubt to bed that she's the WWE Women's Champion. We need to see Charlotte in a match here in the next couple weeks on SmackDown. She needs a good match, because she needs a match or two before we get to WrestleMania, because she hasn't had a match since a singles match or a tag match of any kind since returning. So she needs to get in the ring sooner rather than later, just as a side note. But I got Tiffany and Trish working.
I'm sorry.
And winning this one.
I wonder if they're like just keeping her out just to make sure nothing happens to her.
No, but you got to get the rust off before Mania. You can't have her first match be the end of April.
I mean, that's completely fair. I agree with that. But yeah, I just wonder if they're like, they're kind of doing what they did with Seth, and they're being really careful with her, making sure that nothing happens to her.
Oh, yeah. But she's got to get in the ring and work the rust off once or twice before WrestleMania, because coming in at WrestleMania, first match back after major knee injury, that can't be a thing. She needs to be in the ring with somebody before then. Anyway, Tiffany and Trish. 8-Ball, Tiffany and Trish, don't count on it.
Wrestler one.
So the wheel goes. Tiffany and Trish. All right.
I'm sorry. What?
What's next?
Okay. All right. Up next, we have. It's not technically a match. It's unsanctioned, which means it's just gonna go everywhere. We have Sami Zayn taking on Kevin Owens. Their history at this point is legendary. We have Kevin, who, in my opinion, is doing some of the best work of his career right now. Really owning being a heel, really owning the character, really owning everything. And then you have Sammy, who is doing some of the best work as well. Just sort of like coming together. And Kevin's bitter. Kevin's a little bitter about the bloodline stuff between Sammy. He's a little bitter about the fact that Sammy cost him a match. And Sammy's kind of done with Kevin's shit. Sammy's like, you know what? We have just tried to resolve things in the past and it just has never worked. So screw it. Let's just beat each other up, because that is more direct. It's to the point, and we'll just get this over with faster. And that's kind of where we're at with this. I expect this. This has a little bit higher expectation because it is unsanctioned. I think that does set a bar in terms of the level of violence that we will see. And given that it is Sammy and Kevin and we know what they've done in the past, again, I think there is a level of expectation. I don't necessarily have it set too high, but I would fully expect them to more or less kill each other in game and just go all out, balls to the walls, because as far as I know, neither one of these two have a match at WrestleMania, and this is probably not going to Mania, so I expect them to do quite a lot. But then again, they will also have like 2 months to recover, so anything's possible. But in terms of who wins, God, I don't know.
It's hard to decide who wins. I expect them to jump off very high things. I expect them to go through many different things. This will not write both of them off television until Mania, because voices in their head will be talking soon to one of them. at some point for WrestleMania, so there is that. I expect some blood. And the camera hopefully doesn't catch them laying there punching themselves in the face to get the blood.
Taking shots.
Or the medical staff waiting in position to run away and then back in frame. That was just... Yep, that was the production meetings. Maybe have one or two. Test some stuff
production
out.
Production value. Just,
it's not even production. It's just have a meeting. Just talk about it and rehearse. I don't know. Talk about it and rehearse once in a while. It might be good for you. Camera timing. It just might help. I don't know. Maybe that might just be a thing. No, I expect blood. I expect them to jump off of things. I expect convulsions. I expect overselling of big moves. And I think Kevin gets the win. I think because Kevin has more of a direction for Mania, he should win. I think Sammy can take the loss. It would play into the thing he's doing with Karrion Kross. So my pick is Kevin Owens wins.
I expect massive levels of shenanigans in this, just in terms of people interfering. Like, you could have Kross show up. You can have Randy show up. You can have both show up. It really, really doesn't matter. Since Sammy seemingly has, like, since we kind of know the plan, but we kind of don't know the plan, I can agree that Kevin wins. Just because I feel like maybe he needs it a little bit too.
Yeah.
Especially if he's going against Randy. Because I'm sure that will be another one where they just go all out and just it's a very physical fight. So you need to have Kevin, like, kind of coming off a win against Sammy. Or, you know, I kind of wonder if there's even going to be a winner. How do you win an unsanctioned match? Is it like last man standing?
Pinfall or submission. The referee is there only to count the fall or see if someone taps out. That's all the ref is there for. If they get to the ropes, they do not break it because there's no rules to break it. They're there to call the pin or submission.
See, I think it should be more like last man standing where you just like beat the shit out of somebody until they can't get up. That would seem more appropriate.
It would, but that's not the match they chose.
I know that. But it's like it's an unsanctioned match. I'm going to pin you or submit you. Okay. All right.
But it's happened many times. It ends in pinfall. It's unsanctioned because they're not condoning the violence. They're just letting it happen.
Oh, I know. It's all legal. Like, it's a legal liability thing. Like, they're like, we're not gonna be okay with this, but we're not gonna stop it. Just as an FYI. So just go, y'all. It's kind of like a duel where the doctor turns around and doesn't like watch. It's like plausible deniability. On everything, like, yeah, we knew it happened, but we didn't really see what happened, so we can't help you, sorry. And we did warn them. We had them sign paperwork and everything that, you know, states that they're both okay with this, so they can't sue us, so we're good. But yeah, I think I'm gonna go with Kevin as well. As much as I love Sammy, I think Kevin maybe needs a little bit more.
Yeah, he needs just a little bit more. Yeah, so you're going Kevin, I'm going Kevin. Eight ball Kevin. Outlook good. Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
Which one's Wrestler 1?
Wrestler 1 is Sammy.
There you go.
Up next, we have the Women's Elimination Chamber, where Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Naomi, Liv Morgan, Bayley, and Roxanne Perez are vying for a spot at WrestleMania. And looming out on the horizon for four of these women is the mystery of Jade Cargill and who actually attacked her. Naomi and Bianca have accused Liv, or excuse me, no, three of the women, because one of them isn't in it. I got confused for a second, sorry. Anyway, Liv has been accused of attacking Jade by Bianca and Naomi. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if something doesn't happen with that at all, in terms of either Jade comes back or Jade costs somebody the match, or
it's hard to cost somebody a chamber.
It's happened before.
It is, but I don't expect it. I expect her on a SmackDown.
It could be, and it's just an interesting idea, because without Raquel, that or Jade gets her hands on Raquel backstage, and that is what costs Liv the match. And it could be that Liv doesn't go to help Raquel, because it's like, well, I want to go to WrestleMania, and I want WrestleMania more than I want to help you, so here we are.
Again, Chamber is hard to play out those scenarios.
But not impossible. It could happen. But I fully expect like Bianca and Naomi to kind of cancel each other out here. I think for me, it's down to two people. It's down to Roxanne and it's down to Alexa in terms of who you want to see go for WrestleMania. Roxanne could definitely use the shot. I don't think she would win at Mania. I don't think they would be ready to pull that trigger on her just yet. But I think the shine she would get from a feud with Rhea and on the big stage would absolutely make her and absolutely get her where they want to get, where they want to go with her. But a feud between Alexa and Rhea would be so good. It would be so, so good. And I kind of want to see Alexa more. Like, I really kind of want to see Alexa and Rhea more. Like, they have time on Roxanne and Rhea. Roxanne is just coming up from NXT. And the one thing you don't want to do is have her lose at Mania. Even if it is a high-profile match and even if it is, you know, against a high-profile performer, you want to build her as strong as possible. Whereas Alexa's coming back off of, what, 2-year hiatus after giving birth? Mm-hmm. So I could see you could put Alexa in that match with Rhea and she could possibly lose because it's SmackDown versus Raw, and Alexa could go back to SmackDown and be completely fine. There is also the matter for Alexa of the Wyatt Six hanging out there. They have been mysteriously absent because somebody's not well. And so hopefully they can recover, and maybe we could see Alexa get a little help or a little hurt from the Wyatt Six. We'll have to see on that one. But I think for me, I want to see Alexa win.
Here's why it's not right. She's not going to fight Rhea Ripley for WrestleMania because her issues with Bayley have yet to be resolved. So before she even gets a chance at Rhea, Bayley and Roxanne need to settle their beef. And that could come very soon, or you can set that to be something that happens at WrestleMania in some manner, and you put them in a feud for the Intercontinental title or something along those lines. It is not going to be Liv Morgan. Liv and Raquel are now going to head into a direction where the tag team titles will be on the line at WrestleMania. The Bianca, Jade, Naomi situation is a factor, but I don't think it plays out on Saturday night. I think it plays out either tomorrow night on SmackDown or the week after we kind of see the return of Jade Cargill. I will lean to the week after Chamber because then all the dust is settled there and you don't want all that to overshadow the Chamber and everything that happens about that. Alexa is interesting. To put her in that spot against Rhea, it would be fun. Problem is, Alexa just came back. And long-term visioning of this whole situation goes, I don't think she was in their plans for the title match at WrestleMania. Name in question is Bianca Belair. She's been earmarked for the spot. Whether she's earmarked still, I do not know. But she is going to be my winner because I also think Io is going to be in the title match at WrestleMania 2 in a triple threat.
You going for those triple threats, man.
There's a lot of talent. People need to be on this show. You got to get them on them somehow. But I have Bianca winning the Chamber and going to WrestleMania to fight Rhea because it is the, out of the six, it is the biggest possible match they can do. And you need to do it sooner rather than later before you miss your opportunity to do that match when both women are peaking on the big stage. And right now, both are peaking and it would be the biggest possible time to do that match, either solo or even with a triple threat. But if it's solo, it would be the perfect timing to do so. I am going Bianca Belair wins the Elimination Chamber.
Okay. All right.
So you're going Alexa.
I'm going Alexa.
8-ball, Alexa, do not count on it. All right, we're going to spin the wheel. And you're going to have to tell me who represents which number, because I don't have the card in front of me.
2.
Who's number 2?
Fuck. Alexa. I'm doomed.
8-ball, Naomi, concentrate and ask again. I don't know. I could see Bianca and Naomi and Jade in a triple threat match at WrestleMania. I don't know if I see them in a triple threat at WrestleMania. I could see Jade and someone at WrestleMania in a singles match. 8-ball, Bianca, you may rely on it.
Okay, so we're split. And last but certainly not least, your men's elimination chamber match. John Cena, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Jake Paul, and Damian Priest all vie for a shot at Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania.
I mean, this one's kind of down to two people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's being generous.
Seth, Drew, Jake, Damian, thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate the effort. We hope you have fun and enjoy your time in the chamber.
Did you say Jake?
That's what the thing said. Oh, wait, no, it's Logan. It says Jake Paul in the thing.
Nice.
It does. But, okay, anyway. Whatever Paul brother it actually is, because it could be either one at this point. Thank you so much, all of you, for coming. May somebody ram Logan Paul's face into plexiglass, like a lawn dart, because we all need to see that. But we need to talk about John Cena and CM Punk, because these are your two top contenders for this match. We have the John Cena farewell retirement tour, and then we have CM Punk, who we're all theorizing will get his main event of WrestleMania this year, where he gets to close one of the two nights on WrestleMania, because now there's two shots at it. And then, of course, there is the whole Rock and Cody segment where Cody may or may not sell his soul, but one of these two could.
All right. So before we dive deep into this, Damian and Drew counteract each other because they're going to end up feuding into WrestleMania. So I would have Damian pin Drew, and then Drew's frustrations lead to him attacking Damian, and then that eliminates Damian because someone, say Logan Paul, would then pin Damian, or Rollins, or someone would pin Damian, and there's your double elimination sort of deal there. But I expect one of them to pin the other, and that will lead to some tension as they head into WrestleMania and continue building that. Logan Paul's a wild card because you could do Logan and Cody for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. I don't expect it, but stranger things have happened. Rollins is interesting because he's always worth putting into a WrestleMania meant for a title, but and it would, from a story standpoint, putting Cody and Seth in the ring together 1 year later, after they were on the same side, brother, and now they're on the other, they would be on opposite ends, would make for an interesting story to tell. But who knows? He may have a tribal chief in his rear view, maybe. I don't know. Whatever happens at Chamber, we're going to kind of get the idea of what WrestleMania is going to end up shaping out to be. Whether Seth and Roman fight, or it's going to be Roman, Seth, and Punk if Punk doesn't win this, or Cena and Punk kind of pin each other in the Chamber, and both men somehow win it and fight Cody. And the, I don't know. It's... To me, Cena winning at WrestleMania is the main attraction. It's what I know. It's forecast the story too early. You could do, make it go longer, but in reality, when you think about it, he says, "Oh, the last Royal Rumble is the last Royal Rumble. This is the last Chamber, the last WrestleMania, last Money in the Bank." But with everything that Cena has in his life, is a ladder match, like Money in the Bank, something he wants to be in at this stage of his life. That's where it's harder for me to believe he would be in it. If that makes sense.
It does.
Because he only has so many bumps, and to be in Money in the Bank, you're going to have to do something where you get hit with the ladder multiple times, and I don't think Cena wants to risk that sort of injury just in case something were to happen. Because say he got injured in Money in the Bank, there goes everything they're building for this year.
Oh, I know. And I agree with that completely. I think they're being careful with him. I think they're being extra careful with him. But at the same time, I feel like if Cena is willing to do Chamber, he's willing to do some other things too. And with the low frequency of which he's actually working, he may be down for doing Money in the Bank. And I think also in a way they could just tell him, for the love of God, John, do not do anything stupid in the ring. If you do Money in the Bank, because I don't picture Cena doing a ladder spot off the top of another ladder onto another one and a person. Like, I don't remember Cena necessarily taking those kinds of risks in his career anyway.
No,
and I don't see him do it now.
No, and but he has more to lose now than he did then, because then he was a full time wrestler. Now he's ending his career as a wrestler. But who knows? He could do Money in the Bank. I don't know. But the perfect story is he gets his 17th WrestleMania. He wins it. He can go on the talk shows the next morning. He can be the face of the company one last, like, movie star John Cena wins the WWE Championship. It puts more eyeballs on the product. You can put him on the Today Show. You can put him on Good Morning America, whatever it is. And for a couple months, he's your WWE champion. It makes the most sense. But then there's the Rock Cody situation that we should just tie into all this.
I was just thinking about that.
There's
an interesting theory that got tossed out on Sunday that I kind of want to talk about.
And what's that?
The fabled John Cena heel turn.
Yeah, I mean, he could sell his soul to Dwayne at WrestleMania to get the WWE Championship because it's what's best for business. Him being WWE Champion at this stage, for him, is best for business. Him being in the main event is best for business. Do I see it actually happening? There's a chance. But I see more like there's always a chance. There's also a guy like CM Punk who could make the deal with Dwayne and go like, hey, Cody's not going to be your guy. I'll be your guy. Give me the main event of WrestleMania. Even if Cena wins. It's tricky.
Now that could become a triple threat. Like I can see whoever wins the chamber goes on, if it's not Punk, goes on, gets Cody, and Punk calls in the favor to Heyman, or Punk go and gets the meeting with Rock and says, I'll be your hitman. I'll do what you want. I just want the title.
Like Cena turning, it would be interesting. It would be really good storytelling. However, on the last run, as much as I want to see it, I don't think the crowd will let it happen. I think the crowd would still cheer John, and the heat would be on Cody rather than on John.
I'm kind of okay with that, because here's why. You could use that as a way to eventually turn Cody if you need to, or Cody just feels like utterly abandoned, or you use it as his means of like going against the Rock and rallying against the authority figure and all of that, where it's, you know, you stole this from me, you stole the fans from me, you stole the title from me. You tried to take my soul, but all you took was this kind of thing. And you use that as a rallying point for Cody. Because Cody, when he has something to fight for, he's always better. When he doesn't have anything to necessarily fight for, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, nice guy, Cody. Woohoo. But like, I think if you have him rallying against somebody like Cena and against Rock, and you have Cody being out there, like, why are you cheering for him? He betrayed you. Like, why? They could actually like write it like the Punk thing. Like, why are you cheering him? Why are you chanting for him? You know, he abandoned you. He left you. He sold his soul to the Rock to get a 17th title reign. That's not even, it's a false reign. It's a false title. He's a false idol. You know, it's all these things, right? That you have Cody rally against that and rally against Cena and Rock. And you could build a feud between Cena and Cody, leading into Cody potentially taking the title back or costing Cena the title or whatever. But you could build more out of this, where you have Cody chase Cena. And Cody knows he only has a certain amount of time to get to Cena, right? Before Cena retires. And that's it. He's done. He's never wrestling again. So Cody, if Cody wants to beat Cena for his title, respectfully or properly or improperly, or however they want to do it, he only has till the end of the year. And then you just have Cody chasing Cena the rest of the year. And he either wins it back, and he could win it back like Cena's last night in the company. Cody walks out and he's like, let's go. You and me. One more time. Pins John. Exiles John from the company. Gets the title back. Yay! He's big. Like, that could be a thing.
It could. Like it's, but that's why it's hard to, I think Cody's more likely to be a heel than John is at this stage. As much as it would be interesting character development, I don't think they're worried about that. I think whatever this last time is now tour is, it's everyone gets to cheer John Cena one last time, and the heel turn won't actually come as much as we would want it from a story standpoint. I could see CM Punk selling his soul to Dwayne to get himself in there.
I think the Punk stuff, like Punk, it would be the ultimate irony. I think you guys talked about this on Sunday, that it would just be absolutely the ultimate irony involving CM Punk turning to WWE corporate, right? Turning to Dwayne, turning to corporate, turning to everything that he has ever rallied against in that company, right? Like everything that he, like 10 years ago or whatever it was, told it to F off, right? Mm-hmm. And now he turns around and it's like, I want that title because I want the money associated with that title, or I want the prestige, or I want something else. I don't necessarily want it for what it represents, but I want it for something else. And so the Punk knows the only way he's going to achieve that goal is by making a deal with the devil and selling his soul. And how does Punk get to Dwayne? Paul Heyman. Because as far as we know, Paul and Dwayne are still chummy. They're still good, right? Like, you know, they're still together in terms of the bloodline. One didn't betray the other, so Paul gets the meeting for Punk, or Paul calls in the favor and he's like, hey, Dwayne, we got to do this. And Dwayne's like, yeah, okay, if it screws over Cody, sure thing. Because here's the thing, if you do a triple threat at Mania for the title, which I think you guys talked about this. You have Punk sell the soul. You have Punk become the heel. Both John and Cody can get screwed. And now they both have to chase Punk. And you can do your theory of like Cena becoming more and more desperate to try and win that title and whatever he's going to do. But like just them chasing Punk and Punk doing the heel turn, because, you know, good guy seeing Punk is good guy seeing Punk, but we all know Punk is a better heel. And again, it's that rallying point. It's somebody for, it's the ultimate bad guy for all the baby faces to go against. So it could happen.
So who's winning?
Oh, God. I think it's going to be Cena.
Yeah, this could lead to a future Raw and Punk match, too, eventually possibly finally leading to the Rock Roll match at WrestleMania.
I think the window's closed on the Roman Rock match. I really do. Unless, like, Roman comes out Saturday and looks at Dwayne and is like, hey, go F yourself. Let's go.
No, an eventual. I think not this Saturday. It would be for next year's Mania in New Orleans, I would think.
I would hope.
But I think the Rock window is tightly shut. As, like there may be like a tiny crack, but I think it's closing and closing because I don't think he says he needs 9 weeks to get into a camp for a match. Him finding 9 weeks is becoming less and less likely. Him popping up, doing a move here or there, or being the final boss character, he could do it at any point. The training camp window is not where it is at this point.
Yeah,
so I don't. But unless he wants the retirement match,
there's the other factor too that comes in with Dwayne, and it's the same one as Cena. And Dwayne's insurance is even worse because there is that one time that he did actually hurt himself.
Yeah.
And he had to delay a movie production because he pretty severely injured himself. So from there on out, he really isn't allowed to wrestle that much. Now it could be different now because he's a big star and, you know, he can do kind of whatever he wants.
He is going to do whatever he wants and also push his windows back if need be. And Cena is pushing windows back because I think this was the last commitment maybe for him this year.
Probably, yeah. I think Cena would have, like, planned it out. Not that Dwayne wouldn't, but, like, Dwayne's schedule is, like, stacked up where I think he's, like, 2-3 years out to get him. He's very difficult to book. So, like, this all would have had to have been agreed upon and planned way in advance. And so it's something that I think the window was there last year for Dwayne to fight Roman, and then everything happened that happened, and that window closed. And Dwayne went back to shooting movies, and now here we are again where it's WrestleMania season and he's back. But I don't know if he's willing to wrestle or not.
Right. Getting physical and wrestling are going to be two different things for Dwayne at this point. I was hoping to see Rock Cody feud too. Many were, but he also mentioned in the post-show conference on Friday that this whole thing with him and Cody doesn't need to lead to a match. And that's the great thing about this business. It doesn't need to lead to a match. It's about the storytelling.
My only issue with that, because I do agree with that, he's not wrong, is if it doesn't lead to a match and you have a heel authority figure taking on a babyface champion, at some point, the heel authority figure needs to get their comeuppance. That's how this works.
And Dwayne will get his comeuppance.
Right. But the simplest way to do that is a match, right? So they're going to have to get really creative if that's not where this is going in terms of how Dwayne gets his comeuppance. Because depending on how like violent this gets, Dwayne being removed from the board or Dwayne being removed from the company isn't going to be satisfactory enough. People are probably going to watch him get beat up and have a level of physicality involved in this if it's not going to go to a match. Because that's a key part of this, is that there does have to be some physicality, especially with the history between Cody and Dwayne, where Dwayne left Cody bloody and laying in a cold rain, right? Like, that's not forgotten. So Dwayne's got to get his payback at some point from Cody. We'll see how they do that. But yeah, like, it's fine if it's not going to go to a match, but as long as the conclusion is satisfactory, then it's fine. Like, I don't want a Cersei Lannister situation, because that would just suck.
He did pin Cody, yes. Yeah. So who you're going with?
I'm going to say Cena.
I'm going to go John Cena. Magic 8-Ball, does John Cena win his last Elimination Chamber? No, come back to that one. We'll spin a number, and we'll see where that lands as it's landing. Wheel says
3.
Who's number 3?
Seth Rollins.
8-Ball CM Punk? Outlook not so good.
Ooh.
Okay, Magic 8-Ball. We ask you this question. Does Logan Paul win the Elimination Chamber? No.
Ask it about Jake Paul.
8-Ball.
Does Jake Paul win?
Does Jake Paul win? Nope.
Okay.
8-Ball, does Seth Rollins win? You may rely on it.
Oh, both the inanimate objects are going for the Dark Horse. All right.
So there. Okay. There you go.
So with that, that's our Elimination Chamber preview. Tune in next week for our review of the show. But till then, you've got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. is another edition of CB Radio Live. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio. 10 p.m. Eastern, as they'll talk about their thoughts on the Elimination Chamber. Monday night, whenever Raw ends, we are live with the Raw Post Show. We're going to have news about the Post Show here shortly. Because once we figure out timing, we may have scheduled changes. And the Post Show may be here for a few weeks because Europe. So we'll keep you updated on that. But yeah, because things. We'll be back next Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the Rackets. We'll talk Elimination Chambers. To stay tuned, at some point next week there will be a Rack Extra reviews of a brand new video game called Two Point Museum. That is coming down the pipeline next week at some point. So stay tuned for that one. And another video game probably coming very, very soon too, that you all kind of can have an idea about, most likely. We'll see how that all plays out. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. Our Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, to search The Rack Radio Show. It's chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, you can use creator code RockinSock or
Min's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Way.
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWG. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LinsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward 0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Like, comment, subscribe, tell him we said hi because he's awesome and we love his stuff. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye. Cause there's a psycho in my head. I'm closer to the edge. Making me feel like I'm living in misery, misery, insane. These voices in my brain. Starting to feel like it's gonna be the death of me, death of me. There's a psycho in my head. Wildtalkradio.com.